March 7th, 2023, 16:59 hours Eastern Standard Time. My name is Ward Green. Welcome to today's study, little children. I am happy to say I'm using the iPhone for my camera today. I don't know if it's going to work or how well exactly, but it looks promising, I'd say. And I should be using it all the time because the quality when I scale, and even when I don't scale, even when I take a very high resolution video using the M1 Max MacBook Pro webcam, it doesn't produce a good result. So, and when I scale it, it doesn't get better. So I'm doing this today also because I'm losing my free phone numbers with text now on my iPhone because I don't use it often enough. And unfortunately, they're not reminding me on the other free number that I've got, because also with text now, but they're not reminding me about that one because I'm using it all the time. So I don't get any reminders about non-use. Consequently, and the email that is connected with the iPhone free account is not the email that I use it on a daily basis, so I'm not getting the warnings. It's sad. I guess I could switch it around, but I think it's better just to go with the flow. And I got a new free number for the TextNow app on my phone now, but it's irrelevant to this camera work. I'm just explaining why I'm changing. This is the reason, but the other reason is hopefully the quality is going to be a lot better. Today's study in Wild Road, Part 1, Chapter 3, Paragraph 4. 3 plus 4 equals 7. That's why we're doing it, because March 7th. The calendar day ones that we mentioned in Paragraph 3.3 yesterday, those calendar day ones for the reign of I were Koyak 1 and Passion. Was it Passion? Who's the other one? Epaif 1 and Koyak 1, right. Those were I's two calendar dates, year 3. Epaif was year 3 and Koyak was year 4. So, can you see what I'm talking about here? No, you can't. Yeah. Well, yeah, if I roll it down here, you can. So, here's the Epaif date here. Epaif 1, year 3, and Koyak 1, year 4, for I, that we talked about yesterday. So he has two calendar dates, but they were not well aligned in the lunar calendar because they were waning very late in the months of the lunar month, which is not preferable to the Egyptians. So here I say the calendar day in our today's paragraph, the calendar day ones here may not be exact new moons, but are so close that they may take precedence, that is, the calendar day one. Those calendar day ones may take precedence, and we arrive at the best overall alignment. Tut in from 1357 to 1348 is followed by I in 1348, so that's 9 years for Tut. A little bit, you know, roughly 9 years, and I beginning to rule in 1348, and it looks like Horemheb is best aligned in 1344 by far. Now, when I say that, I don't explain why, but this is when I wrote this article. I was saying this from what I can recall. It the only reason could have been because of the lunar alignments. It's because of the lunar alignments starting with year 1 as 1344 for Horemheb. I can't think of another reason why I would say that, but maybe it's because of what I also say in this paragraph. We'll look at it again at some point, but we're studying what this article says right now. And this 1344 Quorum heavier one makes I rule from 1348 to 1344. Then Horem Heb from 1344 to 1331. And Ramesses the first from 1331 to 1327. Consequently, allowing the keeping of the lunar day 1 in 1329 for a stela of Ramesses I on 2nd Parat 20 before the summer, meaning, you know, Parat is the season of sprouting. Now, seeming to determine the accession is what this does of Ramesses I after Passion 1 of 1331, in order for 2nd Parat 20, to still be in his year 2. I'm going to go get into this for a second here. Hang on. Where's... after Passion 1, but also, and 4 years of 1 month, and 4 years and 1 month of Manetho, implying a May 1331 accession for Ramesses I, because, in brackets, June 9th, 1327, it was June 9th. Or very close to June 9th, no matter what year we have, whether 1327 or 1326 for SETI, it's still June 9th, or close to it. I think it's still exactly June 9th, but whatever. Whether SETI's 1327 or 1326, I think they're the same, but it's just close, very close. So June 9th, we know, or we don't even know, we prefer June 9th as the accession date for SETI so far. So knowing that, then May would be the allowing 1 month, in addition to 4 years of Manetho, you know, to complete the 4 years and 1 month that Manetho says Armez ruled, according to Josephus. I believe that's what that's from, right? That's Armez who says that in Josephus. Well, we might as well check. We don't always have an opportunity to check everything. So, where is that? Is it this one? No, I think it's this one. Let's see. No, try this one. It's this one. Okay. I think this is it. No, it's not it either. What happened? Oh, it is this one. Okay, good. It just looked wrong. Here it is. So, yeah, it was 4 years and 1 month. It just looked like it was big enough that I didn't recognize the actual page. This is it. It was zoomed in. Armez 4 years 1 month. Yeah, that was where it came from, right there. Armez 4 years 1 month. Right there. Armez 4 years 1 month according to Josephus. And Josephus is right up the top. It says Josephus. That's how we know that was from him. Okay. Back to the paragraph. So it implies then if we say that Armez is referring to I, we don't even know that that's correct, but we're trying to make the information that is with us, that was passed down to us, line up. You know, we're trying to make it make some sense. So we've said now if Ramesses exceeds in 1331, we'll say it's May. That way we'll have 4 years and 1 month until SETI, right? That's if I is Armez, and if I exceeds in this May 1331 position or time, Okay, so a summer disc for Horemheb, the middle of Second Shemu is May 1st. Is implied here. Also, so sometime in maybe Second Shemu or Third Shemu for the death of Horemheb, but it's somewhere around May 1st, the death of Horemheb, and thus 13 full grape harvests dating from his accession around March 22nd, 1344 to July 25th, 1344 BCE. These are all BCE dates. And his accession fell in the range, according to this paragraph, we're assuming his accession is in this range, March 22nd, 1344 to July 25th, 1344. And that his reign continued until autumn 1332 BCE, which is, you know, a difference of 12 years and some months, right? But it's 13 autumns inclusive, because it's 12, and we're including an autumn in each of those first and last years. So that's 13 autumns inclusive for Horemheb. So that gives him his 13 full grape harvests, which we believe is correct for Horemheb. So there, because of the number of wine labels found in his tomb. So this is the explanation of what is resulting from putting Horemheb in 1344. So that might be why I said that he was best aligned in 1344 because of the things I said in this paragraph, but it might also be because of his lunar alignments. Now, maybe we're going to talk about his lunar alignments. I don't think we have a lot of lunar alignments for Horemheb. Let's look for Horemheb. Maybe he's talked about in this article here. Got to go down. We've got to try and get down into the, when we're not talking about Horemheb, we're searching for him now. But as we get later and later in the article, his name might not appear so often, and then we can find it more quickly using the search function of the browser. So we're in the paragraph 3-4. Now let's see what happens after that. See, it doesn't. His name doesn't occur again until paragraph 3-12. But maybe his reign is talked about here. Oh, no, okay, then he's not talked about ever again. So his lunar alignments are not given right here. Just a minute. Maybe I have a few. Oh, you know where they're mentioned? I know where they're mentioned, I think. In the article, in Trojan War. Which one is it? This is it. Okay. So for Horemheb. So, in chapter 2 of Trojan War, another article of mine, at the footnote, at the end of the chapter 2, it says his dates are Lunar Day 3, and Lunar Day 5, with year 1, 1342. Right, so that's pretty good. I mean, those are good alignments. So, if we went back 3 years, these lunar day numbers would decrease by 2 or 3. So they might become lunar day 1. So if we went back to 1344 BCE from 1341, which in this case would be what we were doing, so we'd be going back from lunar day 3 to either lunar day 1, or perhaps the last day of the previous lunar month, which wouldn't be so desirable. But I think it's possible for Horemheb that, well, we can probably find out what it is very easily. Well, we can using the calculator. Once we know what the Egyptian dates are, we can use the calculator on the Will of Jehovah page and check out the. So that's your homework assignment. Check out the lunar alignments find out what the lunar days are if Horem Heb is 3 years earlier in 1344. What does that mean? Those Egyptian dates then become, like, what lunar dates are they? That's, I'll leave that for homework if anyone wants to do that, because they're eager to do it. That was the Babylon article I just went to inadvertently. Okay, so here we are. We're done our study for today. Little children, have a wonderful day. If you're otherwise time strapped, but I'm going to now look at our Bible study. We are. Whoever's with us now, we're going to look at our Bible study. And we might talk about some other things too. I tend to be forthcoming with a lot of different things from time to time, as my life is so busy and as it changes from day to day. Well, my health is good today. That's one thing I do want to say. My health is very good, and I do hope you stick around, stay with us, stay tuned for the Bible study, which is Genesis chapter 7. It's very exciting because it's about the deluge of Noah's day, when the earth was flooded with water and all the land animals perished. I was going to say, what was I going to say? Let's see. You'll have to stay tuned for that it's just going to be in a minute or two now. What was I wanting to say here? Okay, so that's paragraph 3-4. In Wild Road Ahead to History, which is, so really, a lot of these paragraphs are full of information to me, because I did a lot of research at the time when I did this. I want to do that for you, but I think it's a good exercise to look up using the calendar on the Will of Jehovah page, which is right here. Use this calendar, and you see the Egyptian date is shown right here. Second Shemu 24 or Apaf 24 is the same date in the Egyptian calendar. But if we change any of the month or day or year over here, and we go to the negative years by entering the field of the year and then typing the minus sign, that enters the BCE years now. Minus, that would be 2023 BCE. But now we want to change that, so we backspace all the way back to the minus sign and then put in 1344. And that, whoops. 1344. But you know what? You have to find out what the dates are for Horem Heb. You have to know what they are in the Egyptian calendar. We have to know what they are in the Egyptian calendar, right? And then we have to put in the Julian dates in the white boxes above here. That we have to keep modifying these until the Egyptian date lines up with the correct Egyptian date. And also we have to change this. I'm not going to do it, all of it, but you have to change the minus to a plus sign, because Egypt is plus 3. That's the time zone for Egypt, plus 3. So we have to do that. And then we have to watch this Egyptian field as we change these months and days over here to obtain the correct, make sure the year is correct at 1344 here, minus 1344, which is the way this calculator works for the BCE years. It's not the same as the scientific notation. It's a layman's notation, shall we call it. Now, what else? We don't know that. Where did I find Trojan War? Where was it? Here? No? Here? Yes, here. So we had Trojan War here, yeah. So I know how to find out, I think. Do I? No, I don't, because it doesn't say what month it is. I can't tell what the dates are, and we have to get Oh, you know, I know where it is. Yeah, it's in this. It's in the B4 article, in this chart, in the B4 article. I think it's in right here. Oh yes, okay. It's all right. We're close. We want to be in the article here. What's going on here? Why is that not working? Oh, this is just a figure, I guess. Oh, here it is. That was just a figure. I couldn't scroll because it was just a figure, just a JPEG or something. So let's go back to. Here it is. We're there now. In chapter 2, paragraph 11 at the end, there's this chart. In History of Babylon or B4 Chronology, another of my articles, click on that, and then you'll see where Horemheb's lunar alignments are. So that's your homework assignment. Look at that. Horemheb's alignments are given here. Koyak 22. Well, look, they're all lunar day 1. That's not true, is it? No, one of them's early. Yeah, one of them's a little early. And this one is... What's that? But anyway, you can verify these bits of information here. Find out whether it is November 13th that corresponds to Koyak 22, and is it September 23rd that corresponds to 1342? Is it September 23rd, 1342, that corresponds to Hathor 1? And does July 24th, 1339? These are all BCE dates, so minus 1339. Make sure that all of those dates correspond so that the 1339 BCE date corresponds to Thoth 1. As July 24th in the Julian calendar, using that calculator on the Will of Jehovah website, or the Word of Jehovah. But if I'm being completely accurate here, the main website address for the Will of Jehovah site is Will of Jehovah. Word of Jehovah is a secondary designation, and some of the features of certain downloads and things like that do not operate as well from the Word of Jehovah site. So you should use Will of Jehovah, the alternate URL, FYI. And I will now hopefully get to the JW library app, and we will look at, well, look, there's new videos. It's March, the March JW Broadcasting, and a new, is it a song? It looks like a song. So Bible, we're going at the Bible study now. Genesis, but there are new videos on JW.org. So Genesis now. Chapter 7. Are you ready, little children? Now it's the Bible study time, the time that we've all been waiting for. After that, said to Noah. After that, Jehovah said to Noah. Noah was Jehovah's servant. Go, he said to Noah, you and all your household into the ark, because you are the one I have seen to be righteous before me among this generation. Of every clean beast you must take to yourself by sevens the sire and its mate, and of every beast that is not clean, just two, the sire and its mate. Also of the flying creatures of the heavens by sevens, male and female, to preserve offspring alive on the surface of the entire earth. For in just 7 days more, I am making it rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe every existing thing that I have made off the surface of the ground. And Noah proceeded to do according to all that Jehovah commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the deluge of waters occurred on the earth. So Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark ahead of the waters of the deluge. Of every clean beast, and of every beast that is not clean, and of the flying creatures, and everything that moves on the ground, they went in by twos to Noah inside the ark, male and female, just as God had commanded Noah. So they went in by twos. Some of them went in seven pairs, or seven times twos. Seven twos. Other ones went in just twos. Just two of each animal. And 7 days later, it turned out that the waters of the deluge came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on this day all the springs of the vast watery deep were broken open, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. And the downpour upon the earth went on for 40 days and 40 nights. On this very day Noah went in, and Shem and Ham and Japheth, Noah's sons, and the wife of Noah, and the three wives of his sons with him, into the ark. They and every wild beast according to its kind, and every domestic animal according to its kind, and every moving animal that moves on the earth according to its kind, and every flying creature according to its kind, every bird, every winged creature. And they kept going to Noah inside the ark, two by two, of every sort of flesh in which the force of life was active. And those going in, male and female, of every sort of flesh went in, just as God had commanded him. After that, Jehovah shut the door behind him. And the deluge went on for 40 days upon the earth, and the waters kept increasing and began carrying the ark, and it was floating high above the earth, and the waters became overwhelming and kept increasing greatly upon the earth. But the ark kept going on the surface of the waters, and the waters overwhelmed the earth so greatly that all the tall mountains that were under the whole heavens came to be covered. Up to 15 cubits the waters overwhelmed them, and the mountains became covered. So all flesh that was moving upon the earth expired, among the flying creatures, and among the domestic animals, and among the wild beasts, and among all the swarms that were swarming upon the earth, and all mankind, everything in which the breath of the force of life was active in its nostrils, namely all that were on the dry ground, died. Thus he wiped out every existing thing that was on the surface of the ground, from man to beast, to moving animal, and to flying creature of the heavens, and they were wiped off the earth, and only Noah and those who were with him in the ark kept on surviving, and the waters continued overwhelming the earth 150 days. So the deluge went on for 40 days of water coming down, and also the springs of the earth providing water gushing out as well. Let's see if we can find that here again. Yes, the springs of the vast watery deep were broken open, and the floodgates, verse 11, of the heavens were opened. So that's the end of Genesis chapter 7. So if you need to go do something, now's the time you should go, probably, if you really need to go. Otherwise, I'm going to perhaps talk about a few things here, additional things, or comment here a little bit on Genesis chapter 7. But there's so many things to meditate on with regard to in this chapter 7 of Genesis. We don't need to comment, you know, necessarily on it. It's very detailed, but one of the things that's worth noting is it says of every clean beast, the clean beasts, Noah was to take seven of them, seven pairs, the sire and its mate, seven sires and seven mates in pairs. So, and that was seven times as many as the unclean beasts, of which he was to take just two, the sire and its mate, one pair. So one pair compared to seven pairs. And also the flying creatures he was to take by sevens. They were not considered beasts. They were considered flying creatures. So seven pairs of, or male and female, pairs of flying creatures to preserve offspring alive on the surface of the entire earth. Because the birds were unable to survive a deluge. Now, there are some animals that could have survived that lived on the water that were not merely land animals, of course. And perhaps some of those, I wonder if any ducks survived, because they could live on the water if they had food, of course. But what their food source would be is unclear during the time of the deluge, because it went on for 150 days, so they would have possibly died. Now, it's possible that it seems likely that all the fish and all the other animals of the sea survived, or at least many of them could have survived, if not all of them. So those are things to meditate with regard to also. And Jehovah gave Noah 7 days notice about the arrival of the deluge in verse 4. We're looking at, you know, here verses 2 and 3, talking about the seven pairs and the one pair in the case of the clean and the unclean beasts, and the flying creatures also were seven pairs of each kind of flying creature. That's interesting. So we see that among the flying creatures there were different kinds. In other words, they would not be able to produce offspring with one flying creature of one kind and another flying creature of another kind. For example, sparrows would not be able to mate with robins or eagles or any other of a different kind. But there are different kinds. There might be variety within the species in some cases. Those might be able to reproduce by having a mating with another of the same general kind, right? The kind of, or the species is what we call them. Perhaps it's even family we call them. Because we know that among the beasts, for example, donkeys can interbreed with horses, and we get mules. And the other thing that we get, what's the other thing we get? What's the other thing that we get? In one case, it's a mule, and in another case, it's something else. Depending on whether it's the horse that's male or the donkey that's male. What is the other animal? I'm trying to remember. Okay. I need to search for it. Let me try a search somewhere else. Well, look what I'm doing here. That should be like that. Well, that darkens it. Can't do that. Okay. I'm going to do a search here. Donkey and horse produce what animals? Mules and hinnies. Yeah, it's a hinny. I was going to say hinny, but I knew that there's a jenny, which is the female donkey, I believe. But I thought of the word hinny, but I wasn't sure. I wasn't certainly didn't know that for sure. So mules and hinnies. Yeah, are the two kinds that you get when you crossbreed. Those animals. So donkey and horse. Now, mind you, you might have to have both of them, or you wouldn't be able to produce these crossbred what do we want to call those? Crossbred forms, known as the mule and the hinnies, So you'd have to have both horses and donkeys on the ark if you wanted to have those alternate forms. And we do have those alternate forms today. So evidently both mules and donkeys were on the ark. Now, lions can interbreed with some other cats as well. Just like dogs can interbreed with dogs, with lions, all the cats in the cat family are, I shouldn't say all of them, because that's not necessarily true. Lions can interbreed with tigers, and you get ligers and tigons. That's one example of interbreeding with cats, but there may be more. I'm not sure what the field is called, what the branch of science is called that studies that particular, or what the branch of that field of science that studies animals is called, that which would be concerned with the crossbreeding of different species within a family, for example. So families possibly can crossbreed, but species definitely can breed with each other. And they're the kinds that are talked about here. The word kind is not mentioned, but it's implicit, because in chapter 1 of Genesis it was mentioned that God created all the creatures according to their kinds. So I could talk all about the rest of this too, about how old Noah was. The fact that back in the days when Noah lived, men lived much longer than we do today. And so Noah being 600 years old was nothing out of the ordinary in those days. But after the deluge, human lifespan was reduced, and people have put forth different explanations as to why that was, but we don't need to get into that today. I don't think we should start on opening that particular can of worms, which you might call it. It would be a long conversation, possibly. So Noah went in to the ark in verse 7 of chapter 7. And his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went with him. And all these other creatures were there, or brought, and they were organized by Noah, and they went in to the ark. And they went in twos, male and female. And then 7 days later, the deluge came. It was in the second month, the 17th day of the month. Now, what does that mean in terms of, was it a lunar calendar that they're talking about there? Jehovah's talking about here. Second month, 17th day, is it the lunar calendar? And if so, what is the first month of that calendar? What time of year was it? We don't know from that, but I've certainly done a consideration of this. I believe it was in the article Preservation. I considered the article of mine called Preservation. I considered in that article the month and day here as referring to the Egyptian calendar, which we don't know that it existed at the time of Noah, but perhaps, just perhaps, it did. Was that in Preservation? I believe so. Now I'll have to check that. I want to know that. But I think that's enough for today. We've had a wonderful study. I'm happy. I'm trying out my new camera. Hope this works well. I'm excited about this. I've not used the iPhone before for this purpose, but I've had the iPhone and used it as a camera many times. It's easy to connect it to the OBS program, if I recall, but I did that some time ago. I just was attempting to use the main camera. I'm using the selfie camera. I was attempting to use the main camera, and that effort seemed to fail at the time I tried that back then. But I prefer to use the selfie camera because I can then monitor myself while I'm recording. So I don't think it really matters about the other camera, the main camera, in this case. But OBS is the program I use. It is, and it seemed to be very easy to set up the iPhone, if I recall correctly, to be one of the cameras used by OBS. Just have to add it to the specific. Well, here's OBS. Let's take a look at OBS. Here's OBS. So you go into OBS. It looks peculiar right now because it's capturing itself, so that there's a lot of reflections. But if you look, it doesn't look like this. Normally, it doesn't look like that. But if you look here at the source is down below here in OBS. You can add one at the bottom. So that's where you do. You go add, click the add, and then you want to say, well, let's add, is it media? No. Is it audio? No. Is it display? No. Is it video capture? Yes. It's a video capture device. Click on that. And then we're given options. The iPhone is on the list, you see? We can add another iPhone source if we want and put that somewhere else on the screen. We could do that as well. So we could add, but to do that we have to click on add existing and then select which particular source we want to add. iPhone back camera, which it wouldn't be useful right now. But the M1 Max webcam is there. And then, oh look, the M1 Max webcam full frame. I wonder what that's like. That's strange. Okay. Let's try doing that. Let's add that. Let's add an M1. Can I do that? What? Oh, there. Okay, I just added the M1 Max camera full frame. Let's see what that has done. Let's see what we've got. There it is. Oh, yeah, well, I should be able to find it now on the list. Here it is, full frame. So if now you click on this eye, the eyeball is grayed out. Click on it to light it up. Now the full frame webcam is active. See? Now you can see where it's showing up too. It's somewhere here. It's full frame. Apparently, or is it? There it is. So if I were to drag that, it's over here. No. What is it? It's here. Let's undo that. Okay. Command Z. This is it right here. But okay. Oh, I know what we'll do. You know what we'll do? Okay. We'll come down into the sources. We take the iPhone 6S and let's gray out the eyeball. There. Now we can see. There's the webcam full frame. Right there. So it's there. We've added it and it's there. Unfortunately, it's not going to give us any better picture, I don't think. Just full frame is not going to give us a better quality. But anyway, we can just, let's just gray that out and then highlight the other correct cam again. We haven't changed anything in our, well, let me show you it. I didn't show you. Okay, I'm going to show you. After I do that, then I click on transition. And then you're going to see that's the webcam. That's the webcam. Now, appearing on the program that you're seeing. Okay? I forgot that I wasn't... You have to click transition in order to transfer what you've done over to the program. Alright, so now if we want to go back, we gray out the full frame webcam and we highlight iPhone 6S again. There it is. Now we click on transition and we have it in the program. Okay, so we can move that off now. We're done for today. That's how you use OBS a little bit too. I'm happy to have spent this time with you today. all you little children, and I love you very much. And today is still March 7th, 2023, of course, 1744 hours now. My name is Ward Green. Have a wonderful day. Praise Jehovah and Jehovah's Son, the Messiah, who is called the Anointed of Jehovah and Jesus Christ. Also is another name of his, and depending on the language chosen, the English being the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. So bless Jehovah. Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom and Jehovah's righteousness always, and all these other things will be added to you. So, without further ado, bye for now.